Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the Relationship Doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad you've joined us.
That's right, Dr. Linda. Glad to be with you here again this weekend as well. This program has become an important part of my weekend, and I hope it has for our listeners as well. As the Faith Radio Network continues to grow, more and more listeners are discovering the Dr. Linda Mental Show and appreciating the good help that we give them each week.
Well, Chris, has anyone ever said to you, I believe everything happens for a reason? Or maybe you've said that to somebody else.
Yes, indeed. I've heard that one a lot, and I'm not really sure what people actually mean by that.
Or how about this one? Don't worry, God's in charge. Or don't worry, God's in control. What do you think people mean by that one?
Not sure. It does remind me of a bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot, in which case a lot of people say, well, then you need to move over and let him drive.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to be the co means together, but I'd rather have him in charge of the car, wouldn't you?
Right.
Well, here's the deal. We all hear and we use a lot of those type of cliches when we want to help or we want to comfort somebody, right? Even sometimes we use those cliches to judge somebody. I'm going to kind of put that out there as well. But there are a lot of cliches that we can take and use. And a lot of times we use them because we think it's going to somehow be helpful to that person. So does a cliche feel good to the person receiving that? What do you think? What's your idea about
maybe
that?
Maybe not necessarily.
Yeah, we're going to look at that. And we're going to kind of see if there are better ways to help people when they're in distress or they have a crisis or a comfort. But I think it's really easy to just put one of those cliches out there.
Right. This may be a little convicting. I think you may be stepping on my toes today. Let me get my steel-toed boots. Put those on for this program.
Well, listen, I don't plan to hurt your toes on today's show. But I do hope we can help a lot of people choose their words. And really know what to say when somebody's in a time of crisis. So many times I think what happens to us, Chris, is we just flippantly promise to pray for somebody or we offer some kind of words that we think are going to be supportive and helpful, but I'm not so sure what it's doing on the other end for the person who's hearing that. So I want to take a look at cliches. So here we go. We're going to talk about, first of all, what is a cliche? And so cliches come from all over the world. They can be interpreted differently depending on your culture, maybe your identity, but often a cliche starts with a smart remark that ends up becoming very well known. And even though cliches aren't really that clear, as we've already established, we're not really sure a lot of times what that means when somebody says that, they're really a popular form of expression. Yeah. So can you think of a few more?
I can. I've got one. Time will tell, or just in the nick of time. Are those cliches?
Yeah, those would be cliches, and that describes some aspect of time and our expectations. In your first example, you said time will tell. I guess that means eventually something will happen.
Right.
That's kind of what the person is saying.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And over time, when you say then just in the nick of time, I guess that means that it was something that just happened at the last moment. And something maybe impromptu or something that's just going to happen. But how about these other time cliches? Because there's lots of those. I lost track of time.
Right.
So maybe you just stop paying attention to the time.
We do that on this program.
We do, but we have a timekeeper on our program who's like giving us hand signals that are very okay.
Right.
It lasted an eternity. Anybody ever said that to you?
Hopefully not about this program.
Yeah. People don't feel like it lasts an eternity, hopefully. What about in a jiffy?
I use that one.
Do you use that one?
I'll be there in a jiffy. Yeah.
Is that a colloquialism? I don't know if that's a or cliche. Mm-hmm. How about, I had the time of my life? I think that all means that you really had a great time.
Definitely. That makes me think of these. As old as the hills. Or old as dirt.
Oh,
I've used that one before. Yeah, he's old as dirt.
That's not one I've heard. I've not heard that one.
Right. And fit as a fiddle. I usually think of these to describe people. You know, the person's fit as a fiddle.
Well, I think what matters is what you really mean or even feel down deep in your heart about that person when you say those things. So is the person really old or are you making fun of that person?
Right.
But my dad is 96, right? We've talked about that. And that is as old as the hills.
Really, yeah.
But I'm not sure if I'd ever say that to him. I don't think I'd call him up and say, hey, Dad, you're as old as the hills, because I don't think he'd take that in a good way. Do you?
Probably not, no.
But if I said to him, you're fit as a fiddle, that would kind of sound like a compliment to my dad. You know, so maybe he would really like that if I said it.
You know, Dr. Linda, I would say you're fit as a fiddle, and it's not bad for someone who's
I know where you're going with that one.
Of course, I was joking.
Well, listen, you almost stepped on my toes that time,
exactly.
And I don't have those steel boots or whatever you had.
You know, I did think of a few more cliches for this program. Opposites attract, do they?
They really don't, but that's a cliche that people say.
Right. All is fair in love and war.
Is it really? Do you think it is? I don't think all is fair.
No.
What's fair about love? Sometimes you get rejected. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, in war and in love, people intentionally try to hurt each other.
Yeah. I don't know if that's fair.
Right.
Okay.
Every cloud has a silver lining.
Yeah. Very popular cliche.
Time heals all wounds.
Which really it does eventually, but we're going to talk about why that one isn't always so helpful at the beginning of a crisis.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah, those are all familiar ones. I'm thinking of all that glitters is not gold.
Right.
He's got his tail between his legs. Or I love this one my dad used to say, do you think I'm made of money? These are all overused expressions, and they actually might sound like a good idea at the time. But I'm going to, again, go back to that these cliches can really be problematic at times. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're not always literal, Chris.
Right.
That's the thing. So when you say something like, oh, they have sweaty palms, you're really not meaning the person literally has sweaty palms.
Right.
You're meaning they're nervous or anxious.
They're not soaking wet.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Well, why do we use these phrases so often?
You know, I think because we don't know what to say sometimes to people. We sometimes want to comfort people when they're hurting. We want to help them, but we just don't have the words to say. So the problem is that a cliche can be a turnoff to someone who's in crisis or hurting or is going through a difficult time, especially if it's based on fiction or, here's the thing, if it's based on poor theology.
Right.
That's really the key.
If I'm upset, let's say, about losing my job and someone were to say, you know, God's got this. God does have this. He's got it under control. But it's not comforting to hear that right after you lose your job.
I know. When I was going through infertility, many people in my church would say things like, well, you know, Linda, God has a good plan for your life, and it might not include children. Mm. And I would just be devastated by that. That kind of what they were thinking was helpful just upset me during a time I was really trying to control my emotions. It was like it wasn't helpful. It wasn't encouraging me. And yeah, again, Chris, I knew that God had a plan for my life. I mean, I believe that, but at the moment that I was dealing with that loss, I didn't want to hear that cliche from anybody.
Even though that person may have been trying to be helpful.
You know, I really didn't care at the time because it just hurt. So when I really thought about it, though, I did think, well, the person probably is trying to comfort me. Mm-hmm. Still, it upset me at the time, which I don't believe was that person's intent.
Cliches are used often, and on today's program, we're going to challenge you to think about the impact of using cliches when people are going through a difficult time.
And we're going to assume your intentions are good. Mm. This is why we want to rethink what we say, when we say it, and the impact of our words on others.
When we return, we will look at some cliches that we as Christians use. And then, Dr. Linda, you can tell us what we really mean when we say these things. We'll be right back with more of the Dr. Linda Mental Show right here on Faith Radio. Stay with us.
Okay, let's be honest. There are times when we eat just because life is tense, or the kids are driving you crazy, or we feel anxious or insecure about a relationship with a friend or a spouse, right? Food might just be too available, or I can't help myself, or it feels so good to dive into the ice cream sundae. We have a million excuses, but the truth is, sometimes we just eat out of emotion, not need. You know, it happens to all of us. So how do we fix the problem? Well, here's a quick prescription, and it begins with press pause. If you follow this simple plan, you can say goodbye to mindless eating and hello to the joys of eating. When you press pause, you slow down and begin to listen to your body. Am I truly hungry? What's going on around me that makes me want to put something in my mouth? So here's how to pause. We're going to spell it out. The P stands for purpose. Purpose to delay immediate gratification. Then the A stands for attend. Attend to the moment, but also be mindful of the future and how your immediate decision might be the one you regret later. Next is the U. Understand that your good intentions and even your willpower don't win the impulsive eating battle. You need a healthy dose of God help. Then the S, strategize. Find ways to incorporate God's help. You invite the Holy Spirit to work within you, and you'll discover His strength to improve your self-control. And then finally, the E, execute those changes. So to eat without emotion, press pause before you eat.
If you'd like more on this simple plan, check out Dr. Linda's book, Press Pause Before You Eat, available online. You can win this battle. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and after today's show, here's an idea. Why don't you let a friend know what they missed? You can always find each of our programs archived at myfaithradio.com. And in the meantime, remember to check out Dr. Linda's blogs on her website, drlindamental.com, and also follow her on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And Dr. Linda, I think there were some cliches in that paragraph.
There probably
like
were.
Like the welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show part.
Well, we mean it. Our intentions are good. And that's what right. We're talking about, right? You know, honestly, this idea for this show came from a bunch of us sitting around and talking about how often we say things that are just trite and cliched. And, right. And we were asking each other, are we really helping people? So that's why we're doing this. Sometimes we're joking when we give a cliche. Sometimes we're under stress. Sometimes, and these are the times we really want to think about what we're saying. The person is hurting or in crisis. And in the church, there are a lot of cliches that we say to each other. Right. They've even become part of our Christian life, and they somehow kind of, Chris, lose their meaning because we say them so often. And my husband, Dr. Norm, always says they're like a secret language that the church people use.
That's
we
right.
say these cliches. I remember I have to say one that I was just thinking of. We had a man who came to the church, and one of the ushers greeted him, and he said, Are you saved? And the guy kind of looked at him because he had never been in a church, and he goes, are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? And the guy
right,
was scared.
Yeah,
he was
exactly.
like, what do they do in that church? Do they sacrifice animals?
Right.
Because he had no concept of what, and I'm sure that usher was just excited and wanted to really help that guy.
See, this would be a good time for me to get on a soapbox. I don't want to take the whole show on this, but you see Christian cliches on the church signs out front.
I know.
Going down the road, and they are well-meaning, but I've wondered how many times a non-believer has driven by a well-meaning, sharp little, you know, church sign and was offended by it.
Yeah.
First of all, because they don't understand the context, and second of all, because they just don't get it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Well, here's one. When God closes a door, he opens a window. What does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly. I this one feels especially vague and not helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever said that to somebody when they're in the middle of a crisis, they look at you and they like,
right.
they look at you like, who likes a door shut in their face?
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't, mm-hmm. I know the intention of it is good and that people are trying to say, you know, don't be so upset about this because something else will open up. So I get it. But there's something about that saying that just makes you feel bad
right.
at the time.
And we've all, I think, attempted these cliches a time or two. And we had good intentions, but we simply really didn't have anything intelligent or even worthwhile to say. Is that wrong?
Well, I think that's the issue. What can we do instead? And we're going to get to that in a moment. Rather than say something that's trite to the person,
right.
You know, maybe there's some other way that we can convey our support and our comfort. I think we all appreciate the heart of the cliche, the message that we're trying to do. So I don't want to be too hard on that. You know, it's true that God can do anything he chooses and that he does have a plan for us. And that too many times we as humans messed up maybe that plan by our actions. Maybe we do something. Maybe somebody was called to a job when we were using that job analysis of losing your job.
Right.
But then maybe there's somebody who's intimidated or angry or jealous and they fire you. So telling somebody that somehow the door was closed or slammed in their face and that God's going to open something else at that moment, I don't think really helps that because the person is sitting there thinking, was God wrong? Was he leading me astray in the beginning? And of course God wasn't. Or was God not paying attention and he allowed some wrong-hearted person to contradict his will? No, of course not. God can do anything, anytime, and we're all acknowledging that. But in the middle of a difficult time, let's really think about this. I think the intent of this cliche that we're talking about is to reaffirm Paul's promise in Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, that all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So I think that's the intention of that cliche. So maybe the scripture verse is just the better thing to say.
Right.
What do you think? Just maybe say, this might be hard to hear.
Right.
But just as a reminder of what God's word says, or maybe, and I think this is even more powerful, not more powerful than scripture, but more powerful than trying to think of something trite to say, would be to just sit with a person and listen and just maybe say, hey, I'm so sorry.
I've heard a story of someone who was grieving, and their friend came to the house and literally sat there for 5 hours and didn't say a word for 5 hours.
Wow.
After the experience was over, the person who was grieving said, you know what? They couldn't have said more. Just from their silence and their being there.
Their presence.
Right.
Their presence. And we hear that over and over in times of crisis and grief, that it's just the presence of somebody else sitting with you, experiencing that pain with you.
Right.
That's the powerful thing.
Well, let's discuss this cliche. It must not have been in God's perfect will.
So I struggle with that one because does that mean that God has an imperfect will?
Ooh. We're treading on some thin ice there.
Yeah. So Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect.
How about this one? Let go and let God.
So at best, for me, this cliche highlights the value of surrender, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, you've got to surrender. God is good and you are not. So that's kind of the point of that. But it can also imply that we can relax and not work with God to achieve his purposes because here's another one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
He's got this.
He's got this.
Have you heard that one?
Oh, yeah. God never gives you more than you can handle. That's got to be the most popular one.
And it does sort of sound reassuring,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes we do go through very difficult things that we don't think we can handle, and we have to completely depend on God during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what happens is we confuse this with 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it.
Mm.
So difficult times are going to come into our lives, and we're going to struggle with tribulation and difficulty. And again, what does God promise us? He promises his presence.
That's right. Now, Dr. Linda, I've got a question for you about this one. God helps those who help themselves. We've all heard that. Can you tell me where in the scriptures that is written?
I cannot because...
Of course you can't. It's not in there.
That's exactly right. Do you know where that comes from?
Ben Franklin said that.
Yeah, so that is not Holy Scripture.
No,
Ben
not by
Franklin.
Far, right.
If God, listen to this, if God only helps the self-helpers, we're all in trouble, right?
Right.
Jesus told us he came for the sick, not for the well. So the cliche is based on really, Chris, Eastern religion. Charles Spurgeon famously said, God helps those who cannot help themselves, which means that we have to humble ourselves,
right,
repent, and rely on Jesus only.
Well, Dr. Linda, before we go to the break here, let me give you one more. There but for the grace of God I go.
Okay, so I've heard this. I've even seen this on a bumper sticker. Have you?
I think so.
Yeah, and I think it's really a great idea because the whole idea behind that is that I feel really grateful for where I am in life. But if you were to say that to somebody in the middle of their difficulty,
right,
it almost sounds like, well, thank goodness my life isn't as messed up as your life is right now. And I know that's not what people mean. But it almost sounds a little bit like God's grace is greater for you than for your friend.
Right.
So I think we have to be really careful that maybe though we believe that to be true, that is probably not the thing to say. What I would rather have you do is remind your friend what Paul reports in this scripture in 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
You know, I've never realized how often we as Christians mindlessly offer empty words of comfort or advice through the use of these cliches. This has been powerful. We'll wrap up the show on what people say in crisis right after the break.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Need help navigating complicated relationships? Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, provides practical advice for everyday living. Visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com, for individual help. Blogs, videos, podcasts, books, it's all there and free for you. DrLindaHelps.com for your appointment with the relationship doctor.
Take Dr. Linda's conflict style quiz today at DrLindaHelps.com. That's DrLindaHelps.com.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and this week's program, Clichés. Do they help or hurt? And we've been exploring clichés throughout the program. And Dr. Linda, before we wrap up, I've got one more for you.
Okay, let's
maybe,
do one more.
Maybe we can take this one apart. We've all heard this. Love the sinner, hate the sin.
Okay, so that's what we would call, Chris, a truism. And because it means it's obviously true. So this is something that is actually true. God does hate sin, and he loves all of us who are sinners, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the problem with that one is that it's been so overused, and it's often used as a pretense for how the church deals. I think the best example is with homosexuality,
right?
Mm-hmm. God hates what you're doing, but many will say that in condemnation, while sort of totally ignoring the sin in their own lives. Mm-hmm. So again, you think about that scripture in Matthew about being a hypocrite, you know, where you're not dealing with the sin in your own life and you're pointing it out to other people. And so, you know, we can't really address the whole issue here of how do you talk about homosexuality in the church. That's a show in and of itself.
Right.
But I think what it is that we want to be careful that we don't just throw that phrase out there. It doesn't give a lot of dialogue. It just doesn't go anywhere for a lot of people. And that part about speaking the truth in love, it's not going to forward a dialogue by simply putting that out there, do you think?
Well, especially the person in question, what we are calling their sin, they see as who they are.
Right. It's part of their identity.
So they can't separate the two.
Yeah. So I don't know that that's a helpful thing to say. It is true, though, in terms of, you know, that God doesn't like the sin in our lives. Mm-hmm. But we all have sin in our lives. And
right.
So, you know, I don't look at you and say, when you lie or something, or when you do something wrong, I don't go, Chris, God hates that sin, but he loves you as the sinner. I'm not doing that on those things. So it's kind of interesting that we just pick that out for that one particular issue.
I've been convicted in this program because we're all prone to do that, and it comes off as very insensitive lots of times. I would like to know why we do that.
Well, and I do it too. So we're going to try not to be so hard on ourselves and really try to understand this, because I think everybody listening throws those things out.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest reason is we want to say something meaningful when people are struggling. We want to do something that's comforting, but we just don't have the words, or we're so uncomfortable at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had this when you've just so uncomfortable, you just blurt out something and then later you go, oh my gosh, why did I should have just been quiet instead of saying something. So I think when we're going through difficulty and we're at a loss for words, we just need to go back to what we said before and maybe just listen a lot more and be present with that person and really choose our words carefully.
Like we said earlier in the program, sometimes just being there and mm-hmm. having the wisdom to not say anything can be just as helpful. But if we do decide to speak, what ways can that be helpful?
Well, I'll tell you the one that I'm real convicted of. I would just throw this off my tongue a lot when people would say stuff. I'd say, I'll pray for you. And then I didn't. So now I'm very mindful of the fact that when I say I'm going to pray for somebody, and a lot of times if I say that in an email, you know what I'll do? I'll write that and say, hey, I'll be praying for you. I'll stop writing the email and I'll actually pray for the person right then.
Right.
Or if I say it, I will very quickly, if I'm going to my car or I'm taking a moment, I'll make sure that I pray for that person. So meaningfully saying that and actually praying for the person is very, very important.
Right.
And I think another thing is giving scripture. I never get upset when somebody gives me a powerful scripture. Do you?
Definitely not. No.
I mean, it's very comforting. When I've been through difficult times in my life, I love to read the scripture because the scripture encourages me. So I would say give somebody a scripture if you don't know what to say. And you can, so today it's so easy. You can Google the topic And you can say, give me a scripture on grief, or give me a scripture on somebody losing their job. And you can get stuff on the internet very quickly that you can write down and say, okay, that's a good scripture. I'm going to give that to someone.
It's probably best, though, to use a little wisdom and feel the situation, because you may be dealing with someone who just doesn't want to hear that right
now.
Yeah.
The timing of it is what's really important. And I do think if it's an immediate crisis, that it's just better to mourn with that person. And there are times that we just have to sit and mourn and feel the grief and not try to make the tension in the room go away by saying something trite. So the real takeaway of that is be okay with discomfort. And even you can even say to the person, they tell you something horrible, like my friend came back. We got a call from a friend and her husband was electrocuted. I mean, I have no words for that.
Right.
And I think it's okay to say to the person, I have no words. Or I've even said to people, I really don't know what to say, but I can pray.
Right.
And then I just pray. I think that's a little bit more powerful.
Even the grieving person probably has enough understanding to know that you're new to the situation as well.
Yeah.
Chances are you're grieving with them as well, so that doesn't make you an expert all of a sudden. So if you have nothing to say right away, then let's leave it at that.
Yeah, and I would say just put yourself in the other person's place. You know, Jesus was very moved. He was affected by the people and their needs around him. He cried at Lazarus' tomb. So just share in the emotion with that person and then continue to pray for that person and really do it.
Right.
So if you don't know what to say or do, just close your eyes, take a moment, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom and the insight and discern what that person may need for the time. I don't think we do enough, Chris, with asking the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom of what to do in a situation. And I know I'm guilty of that as well. So I hope this has been helpful. We want to be mindful of what we say. Can a cliche be helpful? Maybe. Most of the time, it's probably not. We need to pause and think about what we're saying and possibly just be with that person. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who always makes this show a conversation, from all of us here at Faith Radio. We'll talk to you next weekend. And remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel. Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. You can hear the program live each Saturday morning at 10:30, and there are many more interviews archived from our Faith Radio programs available online at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry.